Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Sally Alcordi, and welcome to Public Advocate. Today, my guests are going to be Andrea and Corey Hurlst, and they were recommended to me by Frida Birrell of SaneVax.org, and I thank her profusely because we are trying to raise awareness about the reality of the Gardasil vaccine just in an urgent way. I will give you just a moment of why I have asked Frida to help me. The New York City Council has determined that in New York City, the month of January is Cervical Cancer Awareness Month, and the Huffington Post reported that this was to drive up the use of the Gardasil vaccine. They have also created a resolution that was Resolution 531, and 532 is in support of Gardasil without parental consent. Actually, all STD vaccines without parental consent. So that's another concern. Yet a third concern is that another legislator has proposed that Gardasil become part of the schedule of children who attend school, that they would be mandated to take that unless they had an exemption for all. So, and exemptions are very difficult to get here in New York City. We have 0.8%. That's 99.2% of children do not have a religious exemption, which is the only attainable exemption in New York. Although they offer medical, they do not give it. Okay, I am going to now pick up my honored guests, Andrea and Corey Hurlst. Hold on just one second. Hi, Andrea and Corey Hurlst.
Hi.
Hi, Sally.
Well, this has been a busy day for me, and I just have been setting the shows one after the next, and literally I had 2 minutes before you called in that I finally got it set, but welcome. I appreciate your coming on this program and telling your stories, because the more people understand the reality of this, because it is not being reported as associated with the vaccine, all these dastardly reactions, drastic and terrible reactions to this vaccine are not being associated with the vaccine, which they are. So please tell us your story, Andrea and Corey.
Okay. We had been pushed by my daughter's pediatrician since she was 11 years old. Every physical we went to, they would want to give the HPV vaccine, and we refused. I refused every year. I said, it's too new. I don't know enough about it. It's too new. When Corey turned 15, she wasn't sexually active at all, and that wasn't the concern at that point, but I was afraid you need three in, and I thought, okay, she's in high school, she'll be going to college, let's just do it now. I had not heard negative things about Gardasil. What I should have done was got myself on the computer and investigate, because you can find it if you look for it. The pediatrician certainly isn't going to tell it. You get a one-page sheet to sign that really just talks about the where they give the incision, that, you know, there could be swelling, you have to stay for 15 minutes, but there's a whole lot more to this vaccine. And I have to say, we're not anti-vax. Corey's had her flu shot every year. She's had vaccines since she was young. However, this one you do not have to have, and if I could turn back time, I never, ever would have done it. She was given the first shot October 2nd of 2013, and that was okay. She didn't have a problem. But the second shot was given December 3rd, 2013, and it changed our life as we knew it forever. We're still not where we should be, and it's 2 years later. She got sick within 5 days of receiving the vaccine, the second shot. She had vertigo and nausea 24/7, and we were right back at the pediatrician's. What we noticed then, you know, she sent us to a GI doctor who looked into things, but they don't find, the Western medicine does not find anything. It's all hidden in the cells of the body. And what happened after that fifth day was we noticed little subtle things, then not so subtle, happening over the next few months. Blurry vision, floaters, panic attacks, separation anxiety. What was that called?
Dizziness, nausea.
That never left you. It never left you since that fifth day, 24/7, to this day. Nothing touches this nausea. What we found as things progressed, we saw a neurologist. And on our first visit, he spent 3 hours with us and said, I'm thinking you have something called PANS, and I'm thinking you might have Lyme disease. So he took 16 vials of blood that day, and when the results came, I think to the point of that you had no more blood, right, Gore? What turned out to be when we met, also she was singing. I have to back up a little bit. She was singing and she was going on stage for concerts, and we thought she had stage fright, but she kept saying she felt like she was going to pass out. It turns out that this was a medical symptom that she was having for autonomic dysfunction. We didn't know it at the time. The lights, the standing up, her blood pressure was going down, her heart rate was going up, and she would get chest pains. This is something called POTS. And most of the girls that are girls and boys that are Gardasil injured have POTS and autonomic dysfunction to some degree. And that's where the nausea is coming from. It's all from part of the autonomic nervous system, which has dysregulated. So when we put it all together, what we came up with was she had, and how we decided that the trigger was the vaccine. I did a backwards timeline from when we discovered that she had POTS. She had the PANS, which is pediatric acute onset neuropsychiatric syndrome, and that's where the separation anxiety, OCD, tics, and the panic attacks were coming in, self-harm. And she had some neuropathy. She had chronic inflammatory demyelinating neuropathy and a chronic Lyme. This was all triggered by something, and we were trying to figure out what. No, it wasn't strep. It wasn't a virus. So I was doing a timeline backwards from when we saw the neurologist, adding every symptom that we saw coming in by months, because it was 7 months until we saw the neurologist. It all stopped, Sally, with the HPV Gardasil second injection. That was the trigger. And
I have been telling people for a long time, if one shot will take you down, you don't know which shot.
Right.
So you think things are okay, you think you're well, you think you're fine. With as many shots as they're determined to drive into our children, Gardasil or not, one shot will take you down, and it was the Gardasil shot for you and so many girls. When I read the names of
and you
of
don't
the
have to
dead,
have this. What
when
learned.
I read the names of the dead, they were mostly Gardasil girls.
Right. Absolutely right. And this is something, I mean, I know that everyone is concerned about cervical cancer. We're all concerned about cervical cancer. But this virus, what they don't tell you when they promote Gardasil or the HPV vaccine, they don't tell you that the virus very often, more often than not, resolves itself. And that if the kids are going to be sexually active, they should be getting pap smears. And that's how you prevent cervical cancer. We have no assurance that the Gardasil or the other HPV, the Cervivex, that they really prevent cervical cancer. And even people that might right now have had the three shots and feel fine, we don't know what it does to the reproductive systems down the road. But I can tell you, as a mom, my daughter's life has changed. She's 17 and she'll be 18 in May. She can't drive. She can't ride horses. That's what she did before. She had to leave. And she can't go to concerts. She loves to sing, and concerts were her thing. She gets seizures now daily, and the lights from a concert throw her into seizures. We have seen more doctors than you can imagine.
I just want to say something in terms of seizures that my friend's child received a complete relief from seizures because of cannabis oil, but he lives in a state where that's legal. I just wanted you to know that. He lives in Colorado.
I hear very good things about it. We tried it, and she can't tolerate it due to her POTS. But I have heard tremendous things about it for seizures. That's why I did try it. It's just we can't seem to get resolution yet. She had 24 infusions of IVIG, which is immunoglobulin, and it helped her POTS a bit, but it didn't help everything else, and she can't do a full school day. She had been homebound for 6 months. She's trying desperately to finish high school. It's emotional, physical, and a financial drain, and the stress is just unbelievable.
Oh, yes. I'm sure your insurance covers everything your child needs, right?
Yeah, right. It covered the Gardasil, which she didn't need, but we have...
everything you don't need is what it covers.
Right, exactly. We, you know, what you're finding today is that many doctors don't take insurance. And so we, you know, our doctors, I want quality doctors. And if we've had to pay ourselves, that's what we've done. We submit it, and our insurance company is supposed to pay 70%, and we pay 30%. But what happens is they play the game of that doctor charges more than we think he should. So we're not going to reimburse 70%. So it's financially draining. We've had to cash in some of our retirement. We've gone through our savings, and that's what you do because we want our child well.
Oh yeah, vaccine injury sometimes causes a marriage to break up.
Absolutely.
You lose your house. You lose your car. There isn't any. A catastrophic outcome beyond the catastrophic outcome of the vaccine injury that I haven't heard of, and on a regular basis.
And people don't understand. They'll say, sue Merck, but you can't sue in the United States. I'm sure you know that the vaccine makers have immunity from being sued.
This is what I consider declaring war on our children. That's when Congress declared war on our children, and that's when the Supreme Court stuck in the bayonet to follow up.
Absolutely. They cannot, I don't know how, in all good consciousness, give this specific vaccine, these three shots. We need to know who is going to be injured, why they're being injured, and we need to know what to do for the kids out there that have been injured. Because they don't know that yet.
And
they don't
the
think
it's from a sex. I have to tell
right.
you, I was just
they don't think it's worth it to know. But, you know, this is global, Sally. You know that. It's in Ireland.
Right,
it's
but you don't even know all the problems that your daughter has. This is my
no,
point.
No, you don't.
You don't even know all of them now. You just know some
no,
of them
you're right.
now. There are, yep. And this is what I just got off the phone with a man who just wrote something that he has 1,000 peer-reviewed studies. And he was saying that there are reactions that you will get 15 years hence. So, this is an emergency. And if there is no emergency on the face of the earth, vaccine injury is a huge emergency that is going unreported as such. So,
absolutely. There are some things you can do, which, you know, if you believe your child is vaccine injured, the doctor is actually supposed to fill out a VAERS report, I believe a vaccine adverse reaction. And my doctor didn't. I did, though. And so you can file that yourself, which is really important because it gets it to the powers that be, the real people that look at the numbers, that you're injured.
Well, they just wiped the VAERS slate clean. I'll send you that article where all the reports went missing.
Yes, they did. Very, very interesting.
They did.
Missing.
But I want to tell you a about a nurse who reported, now this I find fascinating because you know this is a big fat crime, what's going on with our children and the powers that be. I mean, it's a crime to hurt children, and that seems to be the sole purpose of the Gardasil vaccine for sure. I mean, it doesn't seem to have another purpose that I can discern. Can you discern another purpose that it has? The stated purpose?
No, I really can't.
So, in fact, I want to tell you along those lines, and I'll get back to the nurse. When SaneVax and Truthvax Gardasil, and I don't know if there was another organization involved here, who sent to the FDA all this, and have you seen the PowerPoint presentation that they made? This is like, I don't know, going back 5 years at least. That they sent to the FDA, and I remember looking at that PowerPoint presentation, and it was like, prior to Gardasil, only people middle-aged and over got HPV or cervical cancer, but since the advent of Gardasil, teenagers are getting it. Gee whiz, I wonder how, right? And they took this information, and instead of pulling it, like Japan pulled it, or Italy did, I believe, and Spain did, and other countries have, instead of doing that, they, at that juncture, said, now it's time for the boys. So if this is not a deliberate to look at information that is so incriminating and make your resolution to give it to the other half of the population.
Right, to give it to the boys now. And there are injured boys.
That's what they said. They didn't.
They said, give it to the boys now, and there are injured boys now. Japan really, I have to say, is a leader, and they just point-blank stopped giving it, and they are trying to figure out what to do for the kids that are injured. So is Denmark. A lot of the countries are, you know, I mean, we have people from Ireland, Australia, Scotland. These are just a few of the countries where there are injured Gardasil victims.
I'm sorry about my dog. I'll try to calm him down.
We have three dogs. We understand.
Give the audience, if you will, some statistics about Gardasil that you have done through your research while I try to pet my dog. Hold on. Go ahead.
I don't have statistics, so to speak, but I just have real life, what I've heard from other moms, and I've talked to the experience, and I'd like Corey to tell a little bit about maybe what a day in her life is like or whatever she'd like to tell you. Mine is all based on real life. I don't know, you know, the statistics.
No, real life is this is, you know, this is the ultimate evidence. The realism of it is the ultimate evidence. All these scientists are hip to theory. Well, the damage and the deaths is real. So that's what we deal in, reality. So I'd like to speak with your daughter, Corey. And Corey, I don't want any theories, just reality.
Okay.
That's a joke. It's a joke on the people who are making these theories, and they have no basis in reality.
So basically, a life in my shoes would be, every day I will wake up with neuropathy, joint pain, headaches, and nausea, of course. And I always get seizures every single day, at least 60 to 70 seizures a day.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wait, stop right there. Everything else you said is startling enough, but there are many different kinds of seizures. Now, I know some seizures, the child passes out. I know other seizures where the child's entire body cramps up and it cuts off the air. What kind of seizures do you have?
I get multiple different kinds. The one that I get most frequently are the focal absent seizures.
And what is that?
That is where I will look like I'm staring out into space. My eyes are moving a little bit. My nostrils flare. I'm not aware of anything around me. I can't really hear. I can't really see. And it's very scary. It's very traumatic for me because I don't know what's going on. It passes very quickly. A couple seconds it lasts. Sometimes a minute.
So if that happened while you were walking down a flight of stairs, you would fall down the flight of stairs.
Usually with the focal seizures, I would just stand there and stop. I don't usually fall with those, but I do pass out with the postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. And I also do fall because of the pain in the neck.
Now, there's a word you shouldn't know. There's a word you shouldn't know. What does that mean?
For what? The neuropathy or the
postural?
The one that you just said, it was a long term, and I don't know.
The postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, that's the POTS, where my heart rate goes up and my blood pressure drops, and if I am standing or walking for too long, I'll get really lightheaded and I'll pass out.
Oh. So that's a different kind of seizure? Is that what you're saying? That's another kind of seizure?
No, that is one of the disorders that's associated with the autonomic dysfunction. So it's not necessarily a seizure. It's more just a loss of consciousness.
You cannot be left alone is what I'm making out here.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I mean, in my experience, I have a service dog that I trained during the 6 months of school that I was not out, that I was homebound. I trained my own service dog.
Really?
And, yes.
There's a career. I see a career
well,
for you.
What she wants to do. Tell her you were a VOAG student.
I actually was a VOAG student before I got really sick. And then once I got the Gardasil, after the Gardasil, I wasn't able to attend VOAG anymore, which is the Vocational Agriculture Program. So that was for animal science, which I was really, really interested in to go into a career path, and I had to leave that once I got sick.
Well, I have to tell you, don't abandon it because I'm fighting for the rights of animals not to be vaccinated. My dog almost died from a vaccine, and my neighbor's dog died from a vaccine. The little ones are dying from them. And we have to protect. We have to protect the people who cannot protect themselves, like the poor children. Even though you were a large child, you were a child, and things were not up to you. And quite frankly, if I listened to my daughter, I would never have given her one shot. But I listened to a doctor instead of my daughter.
Mhm.
You know. So the animals and the children, we really do have a responsibility to not trust people who are paid to lie to us and seem to have not taken a Hippocratic oath. Tell your mom, I don't think that I've been told that they haven't sworn in with a Hippocratic oath in over a decade. I don't know, I have no idea if this is true or not, but it makes sense, doesn't it?
Exactly, yeah.
They never disclose to us the real problems with the vaccine that could come up. I mean, this is the only vaccine you have to wait 15 minutes after you have in the doctor's office. That should really pretty much
speak for itself.
Yeah, really. But they never really disclose the packaging.
Well, this is interesting because on the PSA that they're promoting the HPV vaccine on a PSA on television, and they give you every scare tactic in the world, not even one adverse reaction, not one.
Right.
And there are, I've seen 100. Have you seen that green sheet that has all 100 that were compiled by Sanevax and Truthvac Gardasil?
Yes. And why don't they show those on the PSA? They pretend that there are none because it all comes down to money, and that's sad.
Well,
when you choose money over lives.
I think I figured out why, though. Check this out. Brandy Vaughn, who used to work for Merck, she was saying that they don't have to do gold standard double placebo testing on vaccines because they are not pharmaceutical drugs. They are classified, that's a key word, they are classified as a health program. So they don't have to do gold standard testing. Well, I see all these drugs advertised on TV, and they have to give you some, at least, of the adverse reaction. But they give you none when they're promoting the vaccine. They're promoting it like they're doing you a freaking favor. and no adverse reactions. And I think that pertains to the doctors, too. I bet they also don't have to give informed consent. So I think the fact that it's classified as a health program and not a pharmaceutical drug makes it the exception to all these rules.
Right. Right. No, it is. And, you know, Gardasil was fast-tracked. It didn't go through the channels. Even though the channels are a little bit different for vaccines, it didn't go through the normal channels to be approved and given. It was fast-tracked. So they really...
Well, they literally have kept safety studies. All of this has been presented. You know, they don't want the answers.
They don't want us to know the answers. And it comes down to money and business. It's sad.
Right. Sad. It's criminal. I'm not about sad. I'm about criminal.
No, it's true. They're ruining lives, and people have died. There have been children that have died. And some of the things are there's aluminum in this vaccine. There's many things in this vaccine, but aluminum is something that they'll say, oh, we've been using it for years. Well, when the pathologist, a well-known pathologist who autopsied one of the girls from abroad, 6 months after she received the vaccine, he found aluminum in her spleen. Aluminum isn't supposed to go to your spleen. It's supposed to go out of the body, but it didn't, and it doesn't. And now we have kids whose central nervous system has been compromised. Corey also has cognitive issues, brain fog because of that. That's all the central nervous system.
Okay, let her come back on and continue because I feel like I cut her off.
Sure, here
Corey,
she is.
Come on back.
Hi.
Come on back and tell us about your other, you know, the other problems you're experiencing.
Okay, so, I mean, there's a lot of inflammation in my joints. I get migraines. The seizures and the nausea are the two main things that definitely have impacted my life. I could tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
Right now. And as I was saying before, it's really difficult for me to accept that I can't do the activities and everything that I've done before. I got the vaccine before I was sick. I can't horseback ride. I can't perform. I can't go to concerts. I can't drive. I can't go back to the VOAG program that I was in. I can't go on walks alone because I don't know if I'm going to pass out or I don't know what's going to happen. I pretty much can't be alone because we never know how I feel. We don't know what's going on. Plans change from moment to moment. I can't enjoy a regular life that a teenager gets to enjoy. I can't go out for a certain amount of time with friends.
Can you go to your
And I could definitely say I've also... learned who my real friends are through this whole journey.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
And
have people bullied you? Have people treated you poorly, or just ignored you? Have people treated
mainly
you poorly,
ignored
or just
me.
Ignored you?
And sometimes they just kind of said that I was faking it, and no one knew.
It.
Yeah,
oh.
Everyone said that I was faking everything, that I wanted attention, that I just really wanted people to feel bad for me, and that's not true. There's things called invisible illnesses. People don't get that, and I mean, I get so many dirty looks when I go into places because I have a handicap sign, because I can't walk far because I don't know if I'll pass out. I can't walk far because of my chest pain. Everything. Everything's compromised. And
okay, let me ask you about also, like, the nausea. You said you wake up with nausea, so you don't have to eat in order to feel nauseous.
Yeah, no, I'm always nauseous. Like, nothing. I've gone through so many drugs to try and take away the nausea. I've gone through, like, herbs. I've gone through everything. And nothing seems to really touch it.
I would like to recommend you check out Dr. Carly, which would be drcarly.com is her website, or reversingvaccineinducediseases.com. She was telling me that she believes that bulimia triggered by vaccine. So a lot of people think that they have some psychosis, that they're when they eat. See, now you don't need to eat to feel nauseous, but a lot of the girls who have bulimia, she's saying this is not, they don't have a problem except the problem that was injected into them, you know, and she was saying which part of the brain, and she was really hep to it. But anyway, I believe that if anyone can help a vaccine-injured child, it would be Dr. Carly. She's been doing it a really long time, and she is just, she really cares, you know, she really is a professional. So they took her license away because she helps people and she cures people. So you're not allowed to do that as a doctor. You can only maintain the status quo or further sicken people to be licensed in this country, it appears. They manage your health. They don't cure you. They manage your health. Well, gee, thanks so much. But anyway, I mean, I'm not here to promote Dr. Carly, but honestly, I've been trying to get my daughter to talk to her. You know, I want my daughter to get well, too. But anyway, so, you know, I'm glad that you have made your peace with this, because a lot of girls are in denial, a lot of them. They just don't want to be sick, so that if they don't acknowledge it, then they won't be sick. It doesn't keep them from being sick and having symptoms, but as with all young people, it's kind of like you don't want to even believe this is your life. You know?
Exactly.
Well,
it's very unreal. I could say that.
I bet. Well, we have to, you know, I'm thinking of starting a radio show just for young people. I really am, because we need to hear more from young people so that they alert young people. It comes a time when you can advise parents so much, but they don't actually live it. Now, your reactions are extreme, and your mother is certainly attentive. But a lot of the parents, oh, what's the matter with this kid? Even they are in denial, you know. So I can't tell you how many symptoms that I have found out. My children have double vision, nosebleeds. These things I never put together with vaccines, and these are minor compared to other children, believe me when I say. But bulimia, all kinds of things that are triggered by vaccines, everything. It creates every disease in internal medicine. This is not a joke.
And Sally, we don't know how many Gardasil kids.
It wouldn't be a medical industry if it weren't for vaccines. Your illness is supporting this entire farce. It's horrible. Please go on. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. We get passionate about it, and it's okay. But we have to realize, too, the ones that are really in denial are the doctors. When you take your children to the doctors, I can't tell you how many times we've heard it's in her head. And it's anxiety. Many, many of these kids that are injured, that's where the doctors go to. Instead of saying, I don't know, it's in your head. And that is so damaging to the kids. And then parents, take note. Listen to, read up on this. I mean, there's so much information now. Sanovax is really, I'm so glad I found Sanovax. It's a lifeline for me. There's scientific evidence there. You may not even realize your child, if they had the shot, the three shots, you may not realize your child is vaccine injured. You may not be able to, you know, connect the dots, because it's not easy. So you need to investigate this if your child is just different. This nausea, Corey has taken medication, Zofran, medication that chemo patients take for their nausea after having chemo. It doesn't even keep her steady for a half hour. We've tried ginger. There's nothing. It's in her nervous system. We are working so hard to try to reverse something. It's just amazing, Sally. And I will look into that, Dr. Carley. I absolutely will. I spend most of my time to do research to figure out how we could get our girl well again.
Right, right. Well, she had an autistic child, so she embarked on reversing vaccine-induced diseases to help her own child. But anyway, I would like you just gave some really good advice. Corey, please, you give some advice. Talk to children. Tell them. First of all, I have to tell you, one of the Gardasil girls' mom told me that the new member of the pediatrician's office is a psychiatrist. And this psychiatrist who was trying to tell her daughter that she had raging hormones, eventually she said, your grandfather raped you. Okay? So the grandfather is put on trial. And this child is just suffering from a Gardasil reaction. She's like, he did not rape me, you know? And no one's even believing the kid herself, who's saying, I didn't say rape me, he didn't rape me. And man goes on trial. How far are they willing to go to cover this up?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's pretty extreme, don't you think, Andrea?
Yeah, that is pretty extreme, but when money's involved, Sally, things get extreme, and they're starting to get desperate. What that child truly might have had is the PANS, that pediatric acute onset neuropsychiatric, and that certainly would be caused by central nervous system damage. So and that's a rather new thing too. But instead of saying I don't know what you have, let me think about it. They got to go to extremes because the doctors they have to give these shots according to the vaccine makers. It's a funny thing. You know, the doctors are also immune. The doctors that give you the vaccines are immune from anything. So, I don't even know where to begin to tell people. But, Corey, tell the parents what they could do to keep their children safe.
Well, first off, parents should listen to their kids. They have to listen to everything their kids are saying, and they need to learn what is right. They need to research before anything, really. They have to research. That is a huge part in it. And for the kids, honestly, if this has happened, you have to tell your parents. You have to describe everything that you feel. You have to tell the symptoms. You have to tell it like it is. You just need to.
But don't get the shot.
But don't get the shot.
Don't
get
the
huge
shot.
Thing.
That's the biggest thing. Don't get the shot. You don't have to.
Right. Don't get the shot. You don't have to. See, this is why I was so furious when my pediatrician lied to me. I knew I did not want the Gardasil because I knew it was optional. I didn't know about exemptions, so I didn't know that everything was optional. So I thought, this is the one they're saying it's optional. So when we went to the pediatrician, she wanted to inject my daughter, and she said it was for HPV. She didn't say Gardasil. So I said to her, is that hepatitis B? Did you say hepatitis B? And she looked at me like, duh. And I said, I'm sorry, truly, what did you say? Did you say hepatitis B? And she looked at me like, yeah, but said nothing. And I said, well, isn't that one of the required ones? She shot my daughter. And then she said, no, I didn't say hepatitis B. I said HPV. And I said, well, what's that? And she said, Gardasil. I said, stick that needle in and draw it right back out. She wouldn't do it. I said, I will. Tried to get the needle. We had a tug of war. And this is before I even know they're poisoned. But I did know that this was one that was a choice, and my choice was no. Okay? So I went out to the lobby and I said to the people who work, I said, will somebody please help me? And they all looked at me like, aw. They looked actually really sad for me, but I didn't need their sorrow. I needed help getting that syringe to stick it in and extract it. And then I saw another doctor and I said, will you please help me? And she literally put her hand in my face, talk to the hand. So I still am. That was from Cassie Quinn, Dr. Cassie Quinn, part of Joseph Soloway's practice here in Forest Hills. See, I named names. Joseph Soloway inoculated my child with his back to me, so I didn't know it had happened till after it happened. Another kid of mine.
Yeah, it's amazing. It really is amazing. You have to be aware of what they're going to push on you. And all I could say, in Connecticut, it is not mandatory. Rhode Island, they did pass that it's going to be mandatory. I give those people in Rhode Island so much credit. They are fighting this tooth and nail. And this is not for the government to decide. This specific one, it's for the parent and the child to decide, the parent and the teenager. And it's one, if I knew what I know today, I never would have done. And if I could turn back time and get my girl back and get our lives back, that's what we would do. This is just a life changer and not for the good. It's hell.
Well, as I say, when I read the names, I couldn't believe how many Gardasil names. I said, I'll be reading the names of the injured and dead. Submit the name of your child. Pardon me, please. Submit the name of your child if you want their name read on the steps of City Hall and then on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., where we're asking for a memorial to vaccine victims. And so I can't tell you. Between the DTaP and the Gardasil, that was the majority of the responses I got. The DTaP.
That's unbelievable.
It's
unreal.
HPV.
And no one's listening. You know, I mean, people are listening, but the people that make these vaccines, they need to listen. They need to be vested in the people, but apparently that's just not reality.
Well, when I met with a legislator, I said to him, you know, I have brought all the ingredients and all the diseases and four parts of intent, four immense parts of intent, I mean, really comprehensive files. And the fact that the infant mortality rate was the highest because we have given the most vaccines, and the fact that unvaccinated children are up to 500% weller than vaccinated children. So just the basics, right? So as I sat there with this information, which is all on one sheet, by the way, I said to him, by the way, of all the people on this health committee, your boss is the only one who wanted me to meet with you. I was talking to his legislative staffer. And I said, does your boss have a vaccine-injured child? And he said, no. And I said, oh, the wind went out of me. And he said, well, why do you look so disappointed? I said, because he doesn't have a horse in this race. Is he going to take on the pharmaceutical industry without a horse in this race? I hope so. Certainly that would be a civil servant. That would be doing his job, and he'd absolutely be appropriate. But will he? I don't know. Of course not, is the answer.
Sad. It's very sad. We have something we're doing this year, now that it's in the new year, because I have to say Gardasil really ruled our lives last year for the last 2 years. We're trying to not let it rule us this year, and we want to spread the awareness. That what it really does to people. We want people to know. We want people not to get this. We want them to be aware. But we just vowed that we're going to continue to try to get healthy, get Corey healthy, and find the right thing for her, but we're not going to let Gardasil rule us.
Well, your child is enduring unfathomable illnesses. I am so sorry, Corey. Now, there's another thing Frieda brought up when she called for a moratorium on this vaccine in Scotland, God bless her. What she had brought up is something that I have noticed among the autism kids. The Gardasil kids are seriously active, like your daughter rode horses. And did you compete, Corey? Did you compete?
No, I didn't.
But you rode every week.
Okay. Yeah, I rode every week.
Well, it seemed that the physically active children were being taken down by the Gardasil. And I have to tell you, the kids that I've heard have fallen from the MMR to autism. They seem to be wildly ahead intellectually over their peers. So it seems like the Gardasil is really attacking, and she said the 90% of the girls who are falling to Gardasil were previously extremely active, not just, you know, passively, you know, go out.
No, it's very true. They were runners. They were very